Hello, and welcome to the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative to record America's family history in sound. Oral histories are one of the most personal and rewarding ways to preserve family stories. The Tell Me a Story sessions are 45-minute interviews between two people with the assistance of a trained facilitator. Participants will receive a compact disc with the full interview. A copy will be archived at the Midwest Genealogy Center and, with permission, later made available to the public. And now, another story.
This is Vicki Baker recording Alida Baker, Alida Conklin Baker, on October 29th, 2016. So, Alida, what was the happiest moment of your life?
When I got married.
Tell me more about your getting married.
Well, I came to Dallas to marry Ansel because his folks wouldn't come to Mobile and mine would come to Dallas.
And how did you meet him?
It was supposed to be a blind date, but I was working at Western Union and he came in and said, could you show me which girl is only the consulate?
And how many times did you get to go out before he left for Texas?
Well, let's see, a number of times because like when I met him and then he got his discharge. So it was probably like 60 days maybe.
Wow.
And then he had to go to New Orleans for his discharge from the Navy.
And so then he went back to Texas?
He came back to Dallas.
So you dated him for 2 months?
Probably.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's pretty quick.
Pretty quick. But you know, but I think that I fell in love with him the first day.
That was going to be the next question. How did you know he was the one?
It's just that special feeling, you know.
How did he propose?
Golly, I don't even remember. It was just kind of like an understanding, you know.
Okay. Let's see. Do you have any favorite stories from your marriage?
Well, my favorite story from my marriage is had been my two sons. Because I was married over 9 years before my first boys.
That's true.
And I prayed for a baby.
Do you remember what was going through your head when you first saw Bob?
He's a miracle.
And what about Bill?
Yeah, another miracle. But they're both so different, you know?
Right.
Do you feel like you and Linda are different?
Yes.
I think that's true. You know, my sister and I were so different.
What was he like as a baby and a young child, Bob?
He was busy. I remember he walked, when he was learning to walk, he walked around the coffee table.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'd play and drop something, and then he'd soup pick it up in his hand. So we thought he was going to have a permanent... Not there, forever.
What were the hardest moments you had when he was growing up?
When Bob was growing up? The hardest moment.
Moments.
Well, I think when he was playing sports, you know, and you wanted him to do well.
Mm-hmm.
And he did.
Okay. Let's see. Where did you grow up?
Mobile, Alabama.
Tell me about growing up in Mobile during the Depression.
Well, it was very hard, and there wasn't much money, and I was fortunate that I had an older sister and a cousin, 3 years older than I, and I wore hand-me-downs, and I was happy to get them. And my cousin Dot was the prettiest girl in our family. And unfortunately, she never had children.
So, I know that your dad was a merchant marine, mm-hmm. So he was gone.
Mm-hmm.
Did he regularly, how did they pay them? Did they send money back, or?
When you signed on, you signed papers and an allotment was sent to your wife. A monthly allotment.
Okay.
And so we would look forward to that. And so we had a grocery store, and my mother bought groceries on credit.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she got the allotment check, then she went and paid the bill.
Okay. And I think you told me that sometimes in the summer you went up to live with somebody else.
Well, during the Depression.
Right.
We lived with my mother's aunt and uncle. And he had been in the florist business. And so they had a big house, and they took in a family of five.
My
sister, my brother, and myself.
And why did that happen?
Because during the Depression, my dad couldn't find a job.
Oh, okay. So he was there also.
So they gave us lodging. Mm-hmm. And so he looked for, just pick up jobs.
Right. Okay. Let's see.
And my mother never forgot how good they were to us. And then in later years, my mother was able to help them financially.
Did you tell me that they lived out in the country?
My grandparents did, but these people that we lived with was in Mobile.
Oh, they were?
Uh-huh. And it was in a lovely neighborhood, and the house was set up where we had a playhouse under the house.
Oh, cool.
And that was so great. And then we walked to church, and I remember I had new shoes, and I rubbed a blister on my heel.
So what was your childhood like?
It was happy. There were a lot of things we didn't have. But the one thing that I can remember that Mama talked about a lot was when Dodie and Sonny went to school, and I was four, I couldn't understand why I couldn't go. Mm-hmm. And of course, they didn't have kindergarten in the schools, and there was no money to, and I don't even know if they had private ones.
Right.
But anyway, I said, why can't I go to school? And my mother said, because you're only four.
So did you play with, you said you were real close to your brother and played a lot with him.
Yeah.
So what kind of things did you play?
Well, we played cops and robbers, and we roller skated a lot. Mm-hmm. Skating was one of our main recreations. So I always laugh and say my most precious item that I had was my the skate key.
Yeah, the skate key.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, who were your favorite relatives?
Well, my Aunt Myrtle, my mother's baby sister, and she was only 14 years older than I, so she was like a big sister. And then I was like their child. They never had children. And so I would spend the weekend at their house, and we would go to the movies on Saturday, and we'd make ice cream. And homemade ice cream was so good. Mm-hmm. And then you didn't have refrigerators back then, so you had ice boxes. And so I remember Myrtle making a strawberry shortcake and putting it in the ice box.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, tell me about the ice box.
Well, the ice box was something before refrigerators, And so the iceman came and put the ice in the box, and it was in the, and then you had a space like you do in a refrigerator to put things that need to be kept on ice.
And how often did they bring it?
And then I remember you had a drip pan. As the ice melted, it would drip down in this pan, and then you would have to empty the pan, or then your floor would be wet if you didn't if you didn't do that conscientiously.
Yeah. So what? How often did they come with the ice?
Probably every other day. And I remember you'd get a big hunk, of ice. And
was it heavy?
Yeah, it was,
Did
they
put
tongs,
it in?
They brought it in. They had tongs where they picked it up. And I had two uncles that worked at the ice plant.
Oh. So, you had electricity?
No. We had lamps. Kerosene lamps.
All through your childhood?
No. I'm trying to remember. I know when John was born, I think we still used lamps. He's born in 1935, I was born in 25.
Right.
And I remember my dad studying by lamp to pass his engineering test.
Okay.
And I thought, how can he concentrate in this little duplex with us three kids making noise, But that was his goal.
Yeah.
And he just could blank out all the noise.
So did you have an inside toilet then?
No. It was in the backyard.
Outhouse.
An outhouse. Mm-hmm. And then we took a bath in a tub.
Where they heated up the water on the stove?
Mm-hmm. And the bakers did the same thing.
And what did you think about that? I mean, that was normal, I know, but did it leave any lingering?
Yeah, I thought there's got to be a better way to live.
Did you know anyone that had inside toilets?
The people behind us, I think, did. And they were a lovely family, and they loved all of us children. And I would go and sit on their front porch and visit with them. And I was always talking to whoever would listen.
Really?
And so that didn't change.
Yeah. Let's see. Do you remember any stories that your family told you?
Well, I guess I remember my mother telling me about how my dad courted her and how they ended up being married. And have you heard that story?
I don't think so.
Well, Mama came to Mobile and worked in a restaurant. And that's when my dad first saw her. She was a waitress.
From Georgetown?
Mm-hmm. Came to Mobile. And so, and then Grandpa decided that she should come back home. So my dad came in, and he'd go in there and get coffee and donuts or whatever, or eat. And so he was attracted to her from the beginning, you know. And so when he came and she wasn't there, Grandpa decided she should come back home.
Mm-hmm.
And so he rode a train to Chunchula, Alabama, and then walked 5 miles on a dirt road to her house.
Wow.
And we were fascinated with that as kids growing up, you know.
Right.
We thought, boy, that must really be love.
Yeah. How much older was he than she?
He was, I think he was about 5 years. His birthday was in November and hers was in April. So I think he was approximately 5 years older.
Okay.
But see, when he came into port, he went to a coffee shop, and that's where he saw Mama. And then he was shipped out, and when he came back, she wasn't there. And so he said, well, what happened? And they said, well, her family decided she should come back home.
So he was in the Merchant Marine, or in the Navy, or in the shipping industry, up until the Depression, and then lost that job?
During the Depression, I'm sure shipping took a beating as well as everything else, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so he tried to find a work at the shipyards, and sometimes he could, but other times he couldn't. And that's when we went and lived with my mother's aunt and uncle.
Okay, so
and
it was
they had
a year.
Big house, and now I think, boy, weren't we lucky to have a lovely family that we're taking a family of five.
Yes.
And we lived there about a year.
And so, did you tell me that sometimes you did go and live on the farm?
No, I never did. I go live on the farm. We take a vacation up there, and Sonny and I, we spent a lot of time in the summer up there. And my grandma was so good. And
which grandma was that?
Grandma George, Sybil Bird George.
Okay.
And one time, Sonny and I were playing in what they called a cave, but it was just kind of an open area. And it was red clay, and she made us wash our own clothes. It was so dirty. So we learned the laundry.
So did you have food all the time during the Depression, do you think?
Yeah, we did, but just kind of repeat things. I remember we ate a lot of frankfurters because they were probably one of the least expensive,
right.
You know.
Right.
And then if we were lucky, maybe on the weekend we'd have a roast or something. But we always laughed about, and in the winter, we would even have grits for dinner and sausage or whatever was available, mm-hmm. you know.
So what were your parents like? I mean, what was their relationship like? Because he'd be gone sometimes for a year.
Well, my mother just loved him. I think she loved him from the beginning, you know. I really admire her because she could be an independent woman taking care of a family while he was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so that spoke well of the kind of a person she was.
How did you feel about the fact that you weren't the baby anymore when John came along?
Oh, I was just so excited to have a baby brother. And I think back that if it had been a girl, I probably wouldn't have been as excited. Because I had an older sister that was kind of bossy, you know.
let's see. Who did you look like? Do you think you look like your mom or your dad?
I think I probably look more like my mom, but my disposition was kind of more like my dad. I kind of had an independent streak, and I was anxious to grow up, you know. And like during the Depression, you think, boy, someday I'll be grown and I'll be working and I can buy whatever I need or want.
What was your best memory from childhood, do you think?
Childhood. I think my dad coming home and how excited we were. And I would, when I was preschool, I'd sit on his lap and kiss him 100 times.
So that you could show you'd count to, you could count to 100, right? And what about a bad or sad memory?
Well, I guess the saddest when I was 16 and I was in an automobile accident. And I had the 22 stitches here and here. And I remember, I wasn't one to feel sorry for myself, but I wondered what I would end up looking like, you know. And my sister came to see me, and I had 22 stitches here and here. And my sister said, well, Alita, be thankful that you have your eyes and your teeth.
Yep, there's that. Let's see. Did you have a nickname?
Skeet, Leap, and Skeet.
Why?
Because they kind of rhyme. Alita, they just named Leap, and then they Skeet.
Who were your best friends?
My best friends growing up, I guess, was my brother Sonny.
But from school?
From school, yeah. A girl named Frances Hand. And we were real good friends, and I'd go by her house, and on the way, just when I went to, I went to a different school in sixth grade and another school in seventh grade, and then high school was 11 years, so 4 years of high school. And so Frances Hand, we'd walk to school together.
What was school like?
It was exciting. I was so eager to learn, you know, and I remember, I think in the third grade, we would cut out letters, learning to cut out letters. And I liked this little boy whose folks had a grocery store a block and a half from me. And so I would sit with him and we'd cut out, and I really liked him. And one time when I went back to a reunion, he was there, and I went over and met his wife, you know, and we danced, and it was a lot of fun.
Good. Let's see. How would you describe a perfect day when you were young?
A perfect day? Well, with the temperature in the Mobile being so mild, a perfect day was to go to the pool and swim.
Oh. So where was the pool?
It was several miles from us, and Sonny was the only one that had a bicycle, and they bought that so he could have a paper route. And so he and I would ride his bicycle. He'd pump a while and then I'd pump a while.
It was several miles and you just went by yourselves.
Yeah, about 3 miles, yeah. And you didn't worry about your children.
Yeah.
You didn't worry about somebody molesting them or anything.
Yeah, I know.
The world was different.
Okay, let's see. What did you think, when you were a child, what did you think your life would be like?
I thought that I'd have a happy marriage and children.
Well, did that happen?
It did.
Okay. So tell me some of the stories from childhood. You've told me some. Are there any others you can think of?
Well, one thing that I can remember was when my dad didn't have a job and we lived with my aunt, which was my grandpa's sister, and they had a big house. And I was old enough to realize how lucky we were that we had family that would put a roof over our head and help feed us. I was very grateful.
So tell me about the jobs that you had as a young girl.
Yeah. One summer, I think the summer that I was turned 16, I worked at a jewelry store. And it was a small jewelry store on Royal Street, about a block and a half from where Western Union was. And And I remember the man was so kind to me, and he wanted me to learn watchmaking, to repair watches. And I told him I really wasn't interested. I just needed a job to have spending money. Mm-hmm. And I didn't look for a career.
What'd you do after that?
And I guess after that, then I graduated the month, 2 months before I turned 17.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first job I had when I got out of high school, it was a place that was down near the shipyards, and one of our neighbors' daughter worked there, and so I went with her, and but I really didn't like it.
What was it?
I learned to be a secretary and all, but the type of work and the environment, I really didn't like it. And then I had that accident with my family, with 17 stitches here, 22 stitches here and here. And so I just resigned from that while I was recuperating.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when I went to work for Western Union.
Okay.
When I got well.
And
that was good, because I had to meet the public.
Yeah.
And that gave me confidence.
Right. And your future husband.
And my future husband.
And so what did you work at when you were in Dallas?
When I was in Dallas, when we married, Ansel wasn't making very much money because he hadn't been out in the Navy a year. And so nobody in Dallas knew anything about me and my background. And so I went to work at a place where you addressed envelopes. That was my first job. And so they sent me, I was a great typist, and so they sent me to this men's clothing store where I would, they were sending out mailings, and they had me to type the envelopes.
That's awesome.
Uh-huh.
So you typed envelopes.
Uh-huh. And stuffed them then, I'm sure.
Yeah, probably. And then I think there's one more job, isn't there, or two, that you worked in Dallas?
Then I wanted a different job. I worked for Cokesbury Bookstore, which is the Methodist Publishing House, and I loved it there. And my boss's name was Doris James, D-O-R-R-I-S, and he loved my Southern drawl. And I was a secretary, and he would call me into the office, and I'd say, well, what is it you want me to do? He said, I just want you to talk. I love to hear you talk. That was his coffee break. If you can imagine how Southern I sounded.
Oh, yeah. Because you sound a little Southern now. Mm-hmm. Let's see.
There was one more job.
What?
There was one more job.
Yeah, I thought so. Mm-hmm. Isn't there one more job after Cokesbury?
After Cokesbury, yeah, I went to work for a life insurance company.
Okay.
The union.
All right.
And that's when I think y'all were with me when we went by Doc's house, and we talked about, and I took a typing test. She was working for this company, and her boss said, but we don't need another typist. And she said, well, this girl is exceptional, and so I think we should hire so that when we need one, we've got one.
Well, that's okay, so think about World War II. Do you remember where you were when Pearl Harbor happened?
Yeah,
when you heard about it.
It was on Sunday, and so I was at home, and we had the radio on, you know, and they said, Pearl Harbor has been bombed. And everybody said, well, where is Pearl Harbor? You know, it wasn't,
right.
It didn't register with anybody, and they said, well, it's in Hawaii, you know.
So how old were you?
And so I was, that was 41, 1941. So I guess I was 16.
No. Yeah? Okay. 16. So at that moment that they made that announcement, it didn't have a huge impact on you because you weren't sure where it was or what that
mm-hmm.
meant, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when did you realize that it was something serious?
When the boys, and I was senior in high school, when the boys started dropping out and joined the service, and then I knew we're in for a long haul.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of the boys quit school and joined the service.
Mm-hmm.
If they weren't 18, their parents had to sign for them.
Right, right. Huh. So rationing happened. Mm-hmm. Do you remember any of that?
Oh yeah. You know, you had these coupons, and so, you know, you were limited to what you could buy. And then I think also gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was kind
right.
of a lot. And my mother had a first cousin that worked for a Texaco station down on Goodman Street. And we'd go there to buy gasoline, you know. And Mama
so she did
there.
Have a car?
Mm-hmm. We had a car.
Okay.
And Mama was a good driver, too. Because my dad was home so much, she had to be a mother and a father.
Right. So was he gone when Pearl Harbor happened? Do you know?
I really think he was at sea. I really do.
He was at sea?
I think he was a merchant marine.
And so during the war, did he get to come home?
Yeah, but you know, like they would sail from Mobile and maybe New Orleans, and then they'd go around Florida and go up the coast up to New York and all. And so there was a worry about submarines
mm-hmm.
from Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And so you had to be fearful, yeah.
Right. Did you ever worry that somebody was going to come here for us?
I guess not. I, you know, I was just a happy person, and I didn't look for that. I used to tell my mother, she looked for things to work. And that's easy to do, especially during the Depression years.
Right. Do you remember the newsreels before movies?
Oh, yeah, I loved the March of Time. I when I went to the movies, we just loved the news
mm-hmm.
because we didn't have TV, you know, all we had was the radio. And it's so funny thinking back. That people sat around the radio,
uh-huh.
you know, to listen to it.
Right.
Instead of having to hear it like we had it there and we were just sitting.
Clustered sit around like you were
you know,
watching
no picture,
it.
Yeah, no uh-huh. picture.
So, let's see. Do you have any really strong memories during World War II, you know, that were about how you were impacted by the war?
Well, I'm worried about my dad and as I remember him saying, here we are going up the East Coast, you know, when the government makes it go around Florida and on up to New York and all,
mm-hmm.
and no protection at all, and you know, no guns or anything if the Germans was coming
right.
that far.
Let's see. I think that's enough, don't you?